You guys ever have one of those mornings that just, yeah. Anybody have a Monday morning like that? My Sunday is my morning. It's my Monday, all right? It just goes like that. You can turn me down a little bit. I can hear myself really loud. All right. I talk to myself, but not that loud, all right? So, but I am so glad. I'm going to tell you, I'm excited, man. This is a great morning. I just love going to church. I get up in the morning. I mean, I always give some of you guys a bad time that have your commutes, man. It is a long walk from my house around the corner over here. I mean, it's just, but I'm going to tell you, it's so much fun for me. I get up on Sunday morning. I get around. I just kind of stroll down the street, walk around the school here, and it's just a blessing. I'm talking with God and praying, and it's just a wonderful time, Sundays, I just love it. I love the church, and I love the people, and it's so much fun, and I just want to encourage you. I pray you're enjoying that. And that you're enjoying what God is doing. And just so you kind of get an image of where we're at, our church usually comes around October. We do what we've been calling 40 days. And we've been doing this for 10 years now. I mean, I can't believe that. Some of you have been on this journey for a while. When we take about 7 weeks and we just spend some time just trying to grow spiritually, some time just in God's Word, we kind of get all together as a church and we delve into these studies. We begin 10 years ago with a book called The Purpose-Driven Life. Anybody ever read that book, The Purpose-Driven Life? All right, I see a few of you that read that book. And we kind of started that 10 years ago, and we've been doing that ever since. Every year it rolls around to this time, and the church kind of gets on one page. My messages, our teachings, our songs, our home Bible studies, everybody kind of gets on this one page, and we spend some time with it. We've done studies that dealt with, being like Jesus, relationships like Jesus, or what does it mean to be on mission for God? We did a study on Acts 1:8, and the one I enjoyed, and I did most of the work on that. Some of these we just buy off-the-shelf studies, but we did one called Pilgrim's Progress. And so we spent those times just spending some time as a church focused on one thing and trying to grow spiritually. And we're going to do that again this year. All right, we're going to do that again this year. And if you're not familiar with what happens over the next few days, we've got 2 weeks to get there. I kind of want to set that up. And really what we do is, I have 6 sermons that dwell on a topic that you guys will read and study about during that week. You will meet in a home group, and I'm going to encourage everybody to get in a Bible study group. And you'll get in a Bible study group, and you'll have some daily reading to do. You'll have a little workbook to work through as you watch a video, so you get some video learning in it. And you get an experience. I'm going to ask you to memorize 6 verses. Anybody here memorize Scripture before? Anybody ever memorize the Scripture? All right, yeah, we're going to memorize some more Bible, all right? Yeah, I'm not going to cut any slack on you. You're going to have to memorize some Bible, And then there's some extra material as you read. There's some things on the internet for you and just some different stuff. And what we're going to be looking at, just to kind of give you a hint of what happened, is 10 years ago, Rick Warren wrote that book, Purpose-Driven Life. It became, and it is, the number one selling book after the Bible. Did you know that? It sold more books than anything else has ever sold. The Bible's the number one selling book in the world, and now Rick Warren's that book, Purpose-Driven Life. Well, it had been 10 years since he had wrote that book, and it's kind of hard to vision. That's been 10 years ago. And so he kind of went in and looked at the book again. And what he did is he added 2 new chapters to it. And so now it has 2 new chapters in it. But he's also added, if you go on the internet as you go through the class, each lesson and each day, he has a message on his internet dealing with that message. So if you're struggling in one area as you're reading the book, and it's kind of like, well, I need to hear a little more on that topic of this or that idea that he was saying here. You can click on the internet and you can go and there'll be a message, a whole message for you to listen to that kind of elaborates more on that topic for the day. And so now there's 40, and so we're going to be going through this, and so you're going to hear me encourage you this week and next week, and then we're going to kick off on October 13th that you need to be in a group, you need to be here and commit yourself to be here for a few weeks. But in order to do that, and what I want to challenge you with, if we want to get there, it boils down to you have to make a choice. Do you want to be a part of this? And I really think if you don't, you're going to miss out. How many of you didn't get to go through 40 days of purpose that you go, man, I wish I would have been here for that one. I wish I would have had that opportunity to go through that. I remember after we did 40 days of purpose, Laura and I are on an airplane and we're flying to see our son. And I like sitting near the front. And as we're sitting near the front, fortunately, this plane didn't have first class, so otherwise I wouldn't be there. And so we're sitting near the front. And as we're sitting there, I'm looking up. And the stewardess is reading the Purpose-Driven Life book. And so in the midst of that, I have a conversation with her. And she had just picked up the book, and she wasn't a child of God. She had no relationship with God at that point, and so she was reading the book. And so as I talked with her, I said, would you like me to send you a study guide and a DVD on how you can walk through this book? And so when we got home, she gave me her name and her address, and Laura and I packaged up some material, and I sent her the study material so she could enjoy the study too. And I don't want you to miss, you know, it's like as you look back, man, I wish I would have been there. Don't miss this one. This one is, what in life am I here for? What on earth am I here for? We're going to be looking at that. But I want us to get ready for the rest of our lives today. And so what I'm going to ask you to do and what I'm going to challenge you to do is get your little outline out. You can kind of follow along and fill in some blanks as we go through it this morning. I want to talk to you about your choices. Life is made up of choices. We have a freedom to choose. You had a freedom to choose this morning. You had a freedom to say, you know what, I'm going to sleep in. You know, or I'm going to go watch the football game, or you know, we're going to go out for breakfast, or you could have chose anything you wanted this morning, but you chose to come here. And I'm glad you did. I'm glad, I appreciate you being here and giving the time this morning to be here and to enjoy God's blessings. That's my prayer, that you will experience, that you will encounter God, that it be an experience for you, and that you can leave encouraged and excited. And that's really what I want this morning. And so you have choices. And we make choices. That freedom of choice, that, you know, that's good and bad. I don't know if you're like me, but, you know, I hate to say this, but I have made some bad choices in my life. You know, there's been some times when I wish I would have chose differently. You know, I like that scene. I like Indiana. Anybody like Indiana Jones? I like that movie, Indiana Jones, and the guy goes in there, and they're looking for the cup. Remember the cup? And the guy takes one, and he drinks one, and what's the comment? You know, he kind of melts away. That's kind of gross. Otherwise, I would show it. You know? He kind of gross as his face melts away, and he goes, he chose poorly. You know? Well, I know what it means to choose poorly. You know, I've made some of those in my life. And so this morning, I want to challenge us to choose wisely. And how can we choose wisely? But I want to take it a step above choosing. I gave you two words here I want you to think about this morning. I gave you the word resolve. I give you the word resolve, and it's going to be on the screen in just a minute. I gave you this word resolve, and I want you to look at that word. And here's the definition: to decide, to settle, determine, to have, to purpose. I want you to think about not just making a choice, but you ever make a choice and not do it? You know, it's like, yeah, I want to do that, and you know, maybe you had some friends, yeah, I'm going to go to church with you in the morning, and then they chose not to. Yeah. Well, I want to ask you to raise up your choice to be resolved. Matter of fact, I want you to take it to resolution. And again, I want you to look at that word, because here's what I really want. A firm determination to do something. Yeah. We make choices all the time that we don't have a firm determination to do. Yeah. We have good intentions. You know, we want to. You know, we've chose, but yet. So what I'm going to challenge you this morning, and what I want us to look at, is I want to look at this idea of I'm going to make a resolution. All right? I'm going to determine I'm going to do this. And that's what I want to challenge you to do. How can you be determined to be a part of this? How can I be determined to make my life have meaning, to make my life more than it is, to make my life have purpose? And what I want to do this morning is I'm going to kind of look at four kind of resolutions that Moses made. Anybody familiar with a guy named Moses? Moses is an Old Testament character. You know, some don't know, but if you've been around very long, you know Moses is my favorite biblical character after Jesus. All right, you got to put Jesus on number one. All right, I mean, that's a give me. But after Jesus, Moses is my favorite biblical character. I mean, you know, as you think about the Old Testament, you go, you know, there's Abraham, and you got David, and you got, you know, Jeremiah and some of the prophets, and, you know, and you got all of those. But for some reason, Moses rises to the top. Here's this guy, born kind of differently, you know, in a different situation and circumstances, who rises to power, who gives it all away, and yet comes back. And so I look at him. So I want to look at him. He made four choices. But not just choices. He was resolved. It was determination. And I want to look at that. It's in the book of Hebrews. And I want you to look at this passage here. And look for four verbs I want you to notice in this verse. Look at what it says. By faith, Moses when he was hidden, was born, was hidden for 3 months by his parents because they saw that the child was beautiful and they were not afraid of the king's edict. Now, you remember what happened, Moses? To kind of give you a little background here, Pharaoh kind of got scared. All of a sudden, they had these slaves. And, you know, it started out with just a family of, you know, 12 boys, kind of blossomed into nearly, so you get a, you need to have an impression of nearly 2 million people. You know, and it's kind of like, well, that's kind of scary. We got these 2 million people over here, and they can be a problem. And so he said, we're going to have to cut that population down. So you know what we're going to do? We're going to kill all the firstborn that year. Anybody has a baby this year, kill them. You know, kill those babies. And so if you're familiar with the story, Moses' mother hid Moses in a basket. Remember anybody, you know, and this kind of hid him in a basket and kind of pushed him out. He was found by Pharaoh's daughter and raised in the family. By faith, now we're getting to Moses. That was his parents' choices. Now here's Moses. By faith, when he was grown up, refused, why don't you circle that word refused, to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Choosing, why don't you circle that word choosing too. Choosing rather to be mistreated with the people of God than to enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. He considered, why don't you write, circle that word, that's another one of those verbs. Consider the reproach of Christ greater wealth than the treasures of Egypt, for he was looking to the reward. By faith, why don't you circle that word faith, he left Egypt, not being afraid of the anger of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. There's those four verbs in there that I want us to kind of look at this morning and think about. These are some decisions. These are some choices. These are some resolutions that Moses made in his life that changed his life, that altered his life. As a matter of fact, it altered history that we're living in. It altered everything. And I want us to look at those, and I want us to think about those decisions. I want you to think about those resolutions that he made and put them in terms of us today. If you want to change your life, if you're looking at your life and you're going, you know what, there's more to life than what I'm experiencing. You know, yeah, there's something missing in my life. There's something more to life. You know, and you're wrestling with these kind of choices. I want to share with you that these four resolutions can answer a lot of questions in your life and bring a meaning and a purpose in your life and change you. And I'm going to challenge you with them this morning. So let's look at that first one when he said that he was, what was that word that I served? That he refused to be called. Look, it says he refused to be defined by others. If you look at your outline, I got that little statement there. It'll pop up right there on the screen for you. He refused to be defined by others. Moses didn't let somebody else determine who he is. You ever wonder, who am I? You ever think, well, who am I, and what am I supposed to do, and who am I supposed to be? You know, especially we think, you know, when we're teenagers, that's a teenager problem. Yeah. But, you know, as adults, I see a lot of adults going through this. You know, it's like, what's the meaning of life, and what am I supposed to be doing, and who am I? And here's what I want to tell you. If you don't know who you are, and you don't know where you're going in life, somebody will tell you where you're going. It will be determined by somebody else. All right. You know, as parents, we determine that for our children, don't we? You know, we're kind of guiding them. We're kind of directing them. And we want them to grow up and to be kind of who we think they should be. You know, how many of us as parents, you raise your child, you had kind of dreams what you think your child would do and where your child would go and how your child was going to act and how your child was going to, you had these dreams, and then maybe your child chose that way. Maybe your child chose something else. You know, I would have never chose Army for my son. That way, you know, that's not where I would have put my son in the Army, you know. And I guarantee I wouldn't have sent my daughter to Oregon and Washington. It's like, no, you keep here because you got my grandkids. You could go, but you leave the kids, all right? You know, we had these dreams for our kids, and we had these visions for our kids, and but they got to decide who they want to be. And sometimes we got to go back and look at who we are, because people will define who you are for you. They will determine who you are for you. And they will guide you into those. Look at what Moses said here. By faith, Moses, when he has grown up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. I'm going to tell you, that's a big decision. See, Moses had grown up. Now, you got to think, he was a baby, found in the river, lake, in the river, raised in Pharaoh's home. Now, the most powerful nation in the world, the most prosperous nation in the world, and you're the ruler. What kind of lifestyle do you think Moses had when he was growing up? You think he kind of had it made? You know, maybe we call it today, he's kind of born with a silver spoon in his mouth. We might say something like that in today's term. I mean, you know, I can kind of picture Moses, you know, if it would have been me, you know, kind of like the playboy of the day, you know, just kind of, you know, hey, you know, he's the player, you know. I'm the Pharaoh's grandson, you know. I'm in line to rule this country, you know. This is who I am. I mean, you know, he was defined by that role. He had grown up in that palace. He had grown up everything at his disposal. I mean, anything he wanted, he had. Anything he could do, he could do. But he was being defined by that role. But as Moses grew up, it's like, wait a minute. I'm not going to let others determine who I am. I'm not going to let others define who I am. And that happens in our lives, and we might think it doesn't, but do we sometimes pretend to be somebody else, maybe at work? You know? Trying maybe, you know, maybe to impress somebody we work with, or maybe to impress a neighbor, you know? Or maybe we're still trying to impress our parents. I've even seen people whose parents have died still trying to impress that parent who has passed on and left this world because of the baggage and all the stuff going on in their life because of this image. Yeah. We let others determine. But Moses refused. I gave you the definition of refuse. I want you to see that. To contradict, disavow, reject, renounce, or deny. Moses sat there and said, I am leaving all of this. Now, I don't know about you, but I think that's a pretty good decision. And I don't, I mean, you know, when you got everything, I mean literally everything, whatever you wanted was yours. He had all of that at his disposal. And it's sitting there saying, Moses rejected all that. Moses didn't want to do all that. And see, we have to look back over our lives. You know, I think back, you know, as teenagers, how much pressure's And that peer pressure in high school. Anybody remember high school? You know, that wasn't too long ago for some of us. You know, that high school years. You know, and you go through those high school years, and you want to fit in, and you want to be like everybody else. But yet, I'm an individual. Everybody else dresses the same way, but I'm individual. Your parents say, "Well, you're dressed like everybody else." No, I'm different than you, at least. You know, and we go through all of this, and now you look back over. Do you really remember any of those people? Do you think they really think about you today? You know, we try to impress them. Maybe, you know, maybe in those dating years, anybody in those dating years, you go back and, you know, that boyfriend, that girlfriend, you know, you kind of pretend, you know, to, you know. Guys, you know, you take the girl out on a date and she eats very little. You know, it's just trying to, you know, she, you know. And then you get married and, you know, and then the food bill goes, shh. Yeah. But do we pretend to be somebody we're not? Do we put this mask on and try to live this life that others want us to live? And just trying to fit in. But Moses refused to do that. I like this next scripture. Look at what this scripture says. I love the way it reads this. Don't let the world around you squeeze you into its own mold, but let God remold your minds from within so that you may prove in practice that the plan for you, the plan of God for you, is good. What he's saying is this: step back, quit lying to yourself, and be who God made you to be. It's one of the things I talk about, and I was sharing again yesterday during our Love Salida and cleaning up Salida. I was visiting with one of the young ladies out working, and I'm so excited. You know, I've been here for 30 years and everything, but you know what I've been excited about? I've got to be Gary. I didn't have to be some preacher, you know, and I'm the pastor. I'm just Gary. Somebody just asked me, well, I was riding around with somebody yesterday, and he's calling me, you know, Pastor Gary. But when he says Pastor Gary, he has a brother that's named Pastor Gary, you know. And how does he? I said, just call me Gary. You know, I don't call you lawn mowing Lorenzo, do I? Now you know who I'm talking about. You know, Lorenzo's a great guy. I was right. We dumped some stuff from cleaning up. But I don't call him lawn mowing. Why call me Pastor? I'm Gary. I get to be Gary. I love the church because you know what? I got to be me. I didn't have to fit some mold of some pastor, some history, some image that they had. It's just, this is me. And that's freeing. Don't be squeezed. Why don't you circle that? The plan of God for you is good. God has a plan for your life, and it's good. Don't be squeezed into something that somebody else thinks you need to fit into. See, I've never forgot this. My parents didn't quite understand. My mom made decisions for God when I'm going to talk about this in our leadership meeting today as a child, but she's never really, as they grew up, they never really followed through. But I never forgot this, so they really never understood because I told my mom and dad I felt called to be a pastor. And I was going off to California Baptist College to study to be a pastor. And I'm sitting there as I'm getting ready to leave. I'm 21 years old, and I'm talking to my mom and my dad. And my mom goes like this. My mom goes, well, make sure you take some courses just in case this pastoring thing don't work out. And it's like, she didn't understand. She had no comprehension of what was going on. You know? Don't let somebody squeeze you in. When I went down to college, there was no question of what I was doing. That's one thing I can say in my life. There's two things that I know without a doubt. All right, I'll add three now. There's three things I know without a doubt. One, I am supposed to be a pastor. No doubt in my mind. Clear cut, definitive. And I didn't hear God say, Gary, you're a pastor. There's a conviction. Another two thing that there's no doubt in my mind that's guaranteed in my life, that Laura is supposed to be my wife. That was preordained by God. I have no doubt about that. And I have no doubt that I'm supposed to be right here in Salida. This is where God wants. I have no doubt. Now, there's other questions in my mind about, am I crazy? Yeah, and stuff like that. But see, God has a plan, and it's good for you. But the problem is we let people squeeze us into certain cubicles and certain lifestyles and certain choices. But Moses said, no. I'm moving out of this palace into a dirt shack. Now, I don't know about you, but that doesn't sound too good to me. That's not a good move. That's a step down. Way down. But it was God's plan, and it was good. And we need to see that. Look at what it says here again. It says, do not follow the crowd in doing wrong. Don't follow the crowd. Well, everybody else is doing it. Anybody ever have kids tell you that? Yeah. I'm sure you never said it growing up, right? Yeah. Just our kids tell us that. Yeah. Then he goes on, our purpose is to please God, not people. He alone examines the motives of our hearts. See, I want to challenge you this morning. If you really want, and that's what this study is going to be about, be who God created you to be. Don't be determined. Moses is saying, I'm not going to let Pharaoh and his family and his daughter and all the stuff that I have determine who I am. I'm going to be who God called me to be. And if that means I'm going to be a slave, I'm going to be a slave. And he made that choice. But it's hard. It's not easy. Because we have these. I told you Rick put two new chapters in his book. The two new chapters deal with this thing because this is what bothers us. Here's one of the words. It's called envy. We want to be like everybody else. We envy. We want to keep up with the Joneses. We want to have what everybody else has. We want to be like everybody else. And so we want to keep up with the Joneses. And we want to live like that. So we envy. Another thing that stumbles us in this area is we want to be a people pleaser. We want everybody to like us. We want people to be pleased and everybody to get along with us. And we try to do that. And I'll give you a hint of both of those. You'll never keep up with the Joneses, and you're never going to make everybody happy. Guaranteed. All right? I've been involved in too many things to tell you. I don't care what you do. There's going to be somebody that don't like it. Because that's reality. But I want to tell you one thing. God's plan is good for you. God wants to bless you. Look at what it says here in Jeremiah. For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. They are plans for good and not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope. See, God wants, I don't care where your life is today. I don't care what's going on in your life today. Life can be really a downer right now. Life could be just a pressure cooker and stress, and you're looking at life and you see no hope, and you see nothing but frustration, and you're hurting and you're down. But God is sitting there saying, listen, you don't have to stay there. I have a plan that's going to bless your life. And that's what God is portraying here. Don't let people squeeze you in. Refuse to be determined by others. The second thing I put down as I looked at Moses' words there, that word choosing, it says, I wrote it this way, I choose short-term pain for long-term gain. I choose short-term pain for long-term gain. Some ways to say this is pay now or pay later. Because that's really the truth. Look at the scripture. Here's Moses. Choose rather to be mistreated with the people of God than to enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. Choosing rather to be mistreated. He chose pain. He lived in the palace. You think it was painful living in a palace? Oh, man, it's hard driving that Ferrari. Man, carrying this bag of gold in my pocket, man, just weighs me down. He had it made. He went from no pain to daily pain. All right? But here's the thing. We need to understand. I'm going to tell you something here. Now, listen to this. It might be news for some of you. Life is not fair. All right? I hope life is not fair. You are going to have some pain in life. Anybody been around long enough to say yes? I don't care. You can be a teenager going, yes. Life has pain. But here's what I want you to know, and here's the picture you got to understand. You can choose the pain now and have it easy later, or take the easy way now and have the pain later. All right? Because here's the picture you need to have. Sin has consequences. All right? I like that. Look at what it said at the end of that. It says, the fleeting pleasures of sin. Write this down somewhere. Sin is fun. I'm not going to lie to you. Sin is fun. I never forgot when I came to Salida, there was a lady I was ministering to, we were working with in our church, and she had to battle with drugs, cocaine. And talking with her in one of the conversations, she says, one of the things we make a mistake of is not telling kids that, when you get high, it does feel good. Now, I've never been there. Some of you, might have had that privilege, but are we not that curse? But she was saying, you do feel good. She goes, man, there's a rush. There's a high. Why do you think they call it high? But the problem is, you might have the joy now and the pleasure now, but after that, there is a little bit of pain, right? There's pain. See, you can choose either to have the joy now and the easy thing now and pain later, or you can take the pain now and have the easy part later and the joy later. See, and this is what Moses is making this choice. Moses is going, I've got the easy, I've got the joy now, but wait a minute. I need to step back. Because, someday this might come out. Someday they might figure out, I don't look like all these Egyptians, I look like a Jew. And when they figure that out, it ain't going to go well. And so I just want you to think, sin has a consequence. I'm going to tell you, every choice you make has a consequence. We have the freedom of choice. You have the freedom to choose whatever you want, but you do not have the freedom to choose the consequences. Think about that. You can choose it all you want, but I guarantee you, whatever that choice is, the consequences are going to come. It's just reality. And we can do that in our lives. And so you got to make a choice. Am I going to take the instant joy and the instant gratification and the instant pleasures of life now? And later on in life, I'm going to have the pain and the heartache. Sex is supposed to be when you get married, but I want to have sex now. I want to enjoy now. And later on, you end up with STDs, or you get somebody pregnant, or you end up being pregnant. And yeah, you had the pleasure then, but now you got the consequences. Financially, we do the same thing financially. I love Kmart's new, I think it's Kmart or Walmart, one of them have it. I mean, layaway's back on the big ads. Now, I remember when I was growing up, layaway was everywhere. Layaway, And then it comes back to the 80s, and where's that plastic card? Now layaway's coming back, and it's because we live in a society when do we want it? Now. I want it now. And I'll have the pain later when that credit card bill comes, right? You ever buy anything? If you're like me, I really want this, and it's going to make my life easier, and it's going to be a blessing, and I'm going to enjoy this. And you get it, and a month later, you're going, why in the world did I buy that? See, we have that instant joy, and then we get the pain. And what I want to challenge us with is we maybe need to step back and kind of go, wait a minute. Maybe I need to take it easy now. Maybe I need to take a little bit of the pain now. And then later on, it'll go easy. I was visiting with somebody again this week, and I was talking. Sometimes you got to make some tough decisions, and they're going to impact somebody else's life. Maybe you got to make anybody. Sometimes you got to make a tough phone call. Anybody have to make a tough phone call sometimes? Or you got to go talk to somebody. I have a rule. Here's my rule. The hardest decision I got to make, and the most difficult phone call I got to take, or the most difficult situation I got to confront, or whatever it is, I do that first thing in the morning. Because I don't want to fret about it all day long. I'm going to do it, get it over with, get the pain over with. I like to get it over with, and then I can go on. See, I want to encourage you. Sometimes, you got to go through a little pain in life. What's the saying? No pain, no gain? Anybody ever play sports? For me to stand up here and say, they're going to do a marathon somewhere tomorrow, and I'm going to go do that marathon. What do you think the chances of that? That I'm going to go run a marathon tomorrow. If I'm going to run a marathon, what do you think I probably need to do? Probably need to start running like 2 years ahead of time. I probably need to start moving a little earlier, a little quicker. See, anybody here ever play football? Anybody play football on a football team? Anybody play baseball? Anybody? You play those sports. You don't just, season starts tomorrow, first team, let's go play. You got to go out and get on that practice field. And you got to get out there and you got to work out. And, I watch now, and I it's really fun to see these football players. They're talking about they work out year-round now. And baseball players, it's like the season's over, but they keep the gym open at the stadium, and the guys are going down there, and they never quit. See, without those pain, there's no gain. And so what I'm going to tell you is we're going to do a 40-day study, and I'm going to make it painful for you. I want you to memorize 6 Bible verses, all right? Pain. You're going to have to get up for 7 Sundays in a row and make it to church. Can you believe that? 7 in a row? Pain. You mean I got to read my Bible every day? Yes. Pain. But here's what I'll guarantee you. If you exercise spiritually every day for these next few weeks when we start this study, you will come out on the other end spiritually stronger and different person than you are today. But you got to resolve, not just choose, resolve. You got to make a resolution. Because you know what? I got willpower. Yeah, I got a lot of willpower. I went to Krispy Kreme donuts the other week and brought some donuts. I got a lot of willpower. I put on some weight. I put some weight back on. I lost 20 pounds. I've put like 5 or 6 pounds back on, and it's bugging me. Pants are getting a little tight again. Yeah. But it's last night, I opened the freezer, and two of those Krispy Kreme donuts fell into my hands. Yeah. So guess what I had last night at about 9:30 last night with a glass of ice-cold chocolate milk? I ate those Krispy Kreme donuts. You know, and it's like, oh, man. You know? No pain, no gain. I mean, yeah. We got to make, it's not willpower that's going to get it done. You're going to need some God's power. You know, not determination. You got to resolve, and you got to get God to help you. Because I guarantee you this, if you commit to this study that we're going to do, something will come up to say, well, you know what, I need to, or I forgot, or I. See, I want to challenge you. You got to put in the pain now, the short-term pain now for the gain, because it pays off. Look what the scripture says. Not only that, but we rejoice in our suffering, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. And he goes on, and he goes on. It will change your life. A little bit of pain, a little bit of endurance changes. You know, I hate to tell you this for me, I go to the school of hard knocks. Anybody been in that school? Yeah. No, we go to that school. But you know what? That's what I really learned the most. When things are easy, I don't learn that much. You know, the teachers I remember the most are the ones that were the hardest. Anybody? When did you learn the most in school? Was it the teacher that was easy or the teacher that was the hardest? Yeah. That pain. But it's not only pain for you. Look at what it says here. For our present troubles are small and won't last very long. Yet they produce for us a glory that vastly outweighs them and will last forever. See, what I'm saying and what I'm challenging you with is we get ready for this day. You got to resolve to choose a little pain now for the gain later. And it's not, and it won't be just some little gains. I mean, it's going to last forever. These are changes that last forever. And Moses made that. Let's go on. Moses chose God's values, not the world's. Go back to Moses in the palace. We kind of looked at that. We're going to kind of wrap that up. Moses chose God's values. Moses had the world's values. I mean, you know, you look at Moses. Look at what it says here. Look at what he regarded disgrace for the sake of Christ as a greater value than the treasures of Egypt because he was looking ahead to his reward. Moses had everything this world thinks is important. Moses had everything that, well, the American dream. The house, the car. I mean, I'm sure he had the best chariot in town. Yeah. I mean, Moses had everything. Position, prestige, power. He had everything the world says. Everything the world would say was great. You know, sex, salary, status. I wrote these down. Sex, salary, status. Lust of the flesh, lust of the eye, the pride of life. Say it, anything you want. He had it. He had it all. He had everything. But he regarded it as nothing. Look at the definition of regard there. Consider, thinking, regard, and believe. He didn't believe all of that was what was important. See, we live in a world where all these things is what really matters. Here's the three world's values for you real quick. Popularity. We want to be popular. Power. Prestige. Setting on top. We want to be popular. I want to be with the in crowd. You know, 15 minutes. If you don't think this is true, Facebook, Twitter. Tweet. Is it? What is it? Is it Twitter? How do you say that? Twitter? All right. I got to watch what I say. I got in trouble for saying some stuff last time. You know. That's fame. That's what people want. They want to be known. They type these things. You know, because they want somebody, you know, how many likes did you get? See, they all like my picture. They all like me. Do they really? But we live for this today. You know, and we live on that today. And you think, yeah, well, no, not. Yeah, that's popular. That's how many people are my friends? I love these actors and these people in the media that have all these, well, I've got 4 million friends. Go to the hospital and see how many really come and see you. Yeah. Call them up and say, hey, I need somebody to give me $100. You think, yeah. You think that's really going to work? Are they really friends? You know, well, I guess maybe fair weather friends. How about pleasure? Pleasure is the next one. It's pleasure. Sin, it feels good, it's okay, it doesn't hurt anybody, it's just me. Sex, drugs, hey, let's have fun. Yeah. That's our world today. Tolerant. Oh, we're going to be tolerant. I tell you, I hate that word. I want to be loving. I don't want to be tolerant. I want to love people. You know, I'm not going to just tolerate you. I showed you, if my wife told me she tolerated me, it'd be, oh, that's encouraging. She might tolerate some things about me. Yeah. But we want this pleasure. We want it now, instantaneous. I'll pay for it later, but consequences come. Yeah. And the last one is possessions. He had the treasures of Egypt, man. He had it all. Yeah. And we look for treasures, and I can't believe this is, I like history. I hated history in school. Anybody in school right now? I hated history when I went through school. Hated history. Anybody else? Hey, now I love history. I love reading history. Laura, and we have, you know, she's gone, and so I'm watching TV yesterday after Love, Salida, and I'm watching the guy talk about Hamilton and his presidents and all the impact he had on America. I love history, and I look back over, and I see my family from Texas and Oklahoma living in dirt huts, literally. I've heard them talking about sweeping dirt floors. Why would you sweep a dirt floor? I don't get it. Some of you can understand why, but our house, our cars, it's like, it's a car, but it's what kind of car you have. And I mean, do we live in a world where possessions are important? Yeah. I mean, how many people lined up to get that new iPhone? Yeah. Now, I'm going to tell you, there's nothing wrong with having all this, all right, just so you know, in its proper valued perception. So let's get to that. What is God? Here's what it says. The world and everything that people want in it are passing away. But the person who does what God wants lives forever. Forever. You know, those things pass away. I shared with you that car, that first car Laura and I bought a brand new car, and some kid threw a Hot Wheel car and dinged the paint on it. Just ticked me off. My brand new, I was waxed, I'm serious, I waxed that car while I was in college every weekend. You can ask Laura, every weekend I went down there and waxed that car. Yeah. And now, it's at some junkyard somewhere. I don't even know where it's at. Yeah. See, those things pass away, they don't last. Yeah. It's just, why do we put so much on this stuff? So what's God values? Look at this real quick. God's purpose is more valuable than popularity. God's purpose is more valuable than popularity. You know what? I want to be known by God. I don't care about anybody else. Is that true? I shared with you last week, and I share it all the time. My name is on the plaques at some of these schools because I'm on the school board. You know how much influence I had on that school? It's like, I like those plans. Whew, I worked hard on building that school. Whew. Yeah. But those kids look at that plaque over there and they, I don't know who that is. They have no idea who that is. Yeah. Popularity doesn't weigh anything. You know what's exciting? I'll tell you what's exciting for me is I'm sitting over here during the country town and country fair and spinning that wheel, having a great time spinning that wheel, and some kid walks up and he's going, I know you. You know, and I'm trying to figure out, where do I know this kid from? Is he in Vacation Bible School? What's going on? I had no idea. Finally, he goes, you read a book to me. And then it dawns on me, I got to go to the third grade classes over here and read to the kids. You know, that's what I want to be known for. You know, sitting in that classroom and the kid remembers, hey, that's the guy who come in there and read those three books to us. I already talked to the teacher. I said, do I get to read again this year? And the teacher, yeah, you get to read again this year. Yeah. That's the popularity I want. Plaque on the school. How many people go by and read that plaque? Have anybody ever read one of those plaques on the schools? Anybody ever go by and read those plaques? Yeah. Some of you have. Yeah. Yeah, my wife's looking for my name. Yeah. You know, she's shaking her head. No. Popularity, be known by God. Get your name in the Lamb's Book of Life. How about that one? Does that one sound good? Yeah. Get your name in that book. That's where I want to be known at. How about the next one? People are more valuable than pleasure. People are more valuable than pleasure. I'm just going to throw this out real quick. You know, I've never forgot when I was in junior college. This is junior college. This was not a Christian school. Okay, you need to understand. This is Consumnis River Junior College in Sacramento. I'm in a psychology class. And my professor brings a pimp into class. Sounds really nice, right? You know. But here was the conversation. This is what the professor was making. The point was this. There's no such thing as a victimless crime. Because his point was, this pimp, and he sat there and told him how he, and that pimp told us in this class how he abused those ladies in order to make them do what he wanted, in order to make them do and perform and make him money. He talked about how he abused and used those ones. So when somebody tells me porn on the internet, well, it's victimless. Those ladies are making money. It is not a victimless crime. There are people who are suffering and hurting because of that. There's no such thing. Human trafficking. I mean, I can go on down and look at our world today. It's sad because we think, well, it's not hurting anybody. I'm going to tell you, I don't care what you do, it affects somebody. It affects somebody. See, people are more valuable. We got to think about how important people are. People. Peace of mind is more valuable than possessions. Anybody ever worry about what you own? You know? Worry about, we worry. Peace of mind. You know, it's in God's hands, in trusting God. See, whose values are you living on? Let me tell you again this. This is something that you got to think about. It goes back to everything we're talking about this morning. If you don't have your values, somebody else will set them for you. Can you name the three, maybe four things that are the most that are your values in life? If you can't name them, you don't have them. You might have good intentions. I can tell you four things to me that are the most important things in my life. Things that I will balance everything in life for. Everything in life has to be measured by these four things. First, right off the list, it's God. That's a give me. Second thing is integrity. I want to be above reproach. I want to be a man who stands above reproach. Do I make bad decisions? Do I make mistakes? But I'm going to do the best I can to say what I say, to mean what I say, and to live a life of integrity. Third thing on that list is relationships. My wife, my kids, my family, my church, people. People matter to me. I mean, just ministering and serving and talking with people to see people hurting. We're doing a wedding here, and we have a wedding going on. And after the rehearsal, I'm talking with someone after the rehearsal, and I could tell they were hurting. They were hurting. They were sharing some turmoil going on. And so everybody's gone, and so I said, you want to pray? You want me to pray for you right now? I'll pray for you. No. You want to pray right now? I mean, right now. So I stopped in the middle of everything and trying to close the building down. And yeah, I needed to go somewhere. And I prayed with this person. Because people are important. Yeah, I had things to do and places to go. And we just finished this up and it was late. But people are important. See, relationships. So we need to define your values and what's important to you. Let me get to the last one. Man, I'm running out of time. I'm going way too far here. I choose to live by faith rather than by fear. Let's blow through these last ones here. Look at what it says in the scripture. By faith, this is Moses, by faith he left Egypt, not being afraid of the anger of the king. He endured as seeing him who is invisible. Now, I don't know about you, but you're standing before the most powerful man in the world. All right? That's Pharaoh, all right? The most powerful man in the world. And you're telling him, listen, I don't care who you are. I don't care what you say. I don't care what you think. You know those guys out there? There's 2 million of them. I'm taking them and we're leaving. I don't care what you say. Bye. I don't know about you, but that might be a little fearful. It's like, hey, psst, take his head off. Yeah. He sat there. I mean, Moses could have been he's standing before this guy. And God says, do this, and Moses did it. We live most of our lives, I hate to tell you, most of us live by fear, don't we? We're afraid of this, and we're afraid somebody's going to find this out about us, or we're afraid somebody's going to discover this, or we're afraid, and we live in fear. And I want to challenge you, don't live in fear. Live in faith. Now, I'm going to tell you, everybody has faith. Even an atheist has faith. You might not think you have much faith, but you know what? You're sitting in a chair that when you sat down, you had to have faith that that chair was going to hold you. You did. You know, this morning, if you drove your car here, you had faith when you stuck that key in, the battery was going to work. You're going to have faith in a little while because you're going to pull out of this parking lot. You're going to come up to this stop sign that's out here in front of this church, and you got faith that everybody's going to obey the other stop sign, and they're going to stop so they don't crash you. See, we all have faith. It doesn't matter what you have your faith in. See, I want to challenge you as we go through this study to put your faith in God. Not one another and not things, but God. Moses had all the reasons to be afraid, but he wasn't. And I want to challenge you. You know, here, let me give you a little hint. The closer you are to God, the further away from fear you will be. The closer you walk with God, the further away from fear. The closer you are to fear, the further away you are from God. And so when there's fear in your life, you need to think, it's not the fear that's the problem. It's my relationship with God. And we need to see that. Look at what it says here in Galatians. Yet we know that a person is put right with God only through faith in Jesus Christ, never by doing what the law requires. We too have believed in Christ Jesus in order to be put right with God through faith in Christ, and not by doing what the law requires, for no one is put right with God by doing what the law requires. Here's what he's saying. You got to get a point in your life where you say something along these lines, and you put your faith in God. God, I'm tired of doing things my way. I want to do them yours. Come into my life and take control. That's what faith is all about. You know, faith is not about strong will, depending on God, I can do this. It's about absolutely surrendering your will to God. See, I make it very plain in this church what a Christian is. It's not, well, I accepted Christ, I walked an aisle, I was baptized. That's all good stuff. But a Christian is someone who is sold out. God, I'm tired of doing things my way. Anybody here have a life that sometimes you're tired of? You're tired of where your life's at? You're tired of what's going on in life? And you want it different? God, I'm tired of doing things my way. I want to do them yours. It's right here. Come into my life and take control. See, that's what God is after. See, I'm going to choose faith over fear. You guys know my favorite verse. I can do anybody? All right. I can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens me. I can do all things. Go for it. See, don't live in fear. Live in faith when you walk with God. See, Moses had these four resolutions. How can we make this happen in our lives? See, here's my challenge is, well, I can do this. I can do this. How many make a resolution in January and you fail before February 1st? Anybody? I'm going to do this, and 2 weeks later, it's like, oh, man. Or maybe February rolls around, you go, what did I say I was going to do? How can we make this happen? Real quick, how do we keep these resolutions? Here, I'm going to tell you real quick. Get support from a small group. You can't do it on your own. Get some others with you. I really believe in a small group. Let us be concerned for one another, to help one another, to show love and to do good. Let us not give up on the habit of meeting together as some are doing. Instead, let us encourage one another all the more since you see that day of the Lord is coming near. I've always said in this church you need three things. You need a church family. A family that you can support and be a support to and be there to encourage you. You need a church family. You need a small group. People that will be there to encourage you. Somebody that knows you. You need that 5, 6, 7 people that you're journeying through life with. And you need somebody who can say the hard things to you. It's a passion for me in this church that everybody be in a small group. And you hear us talk about it all the time. And here's what I want to tell you. This is something that I'm going to say this. I hope I don't hurt anybody. Hope this doesn't bother you, but this is the truth. If you're in this church and you go to the hospital and nobody visits you, my question to you is going to be, are you in a small group? I'm serious. If I'm the only one that goes to see you, there's a problem. And it can't be because this church doesn't talk about small groups enough. And it can't be because we don't have enough small groups, because we want more. But if you want a group on Monday, guess what? We got a group on Monday. Oh, you can't meet Monday. How about Tuesday? Oh, Tuesday don't work. What about Wednesday? Oh, Thursday afternoon, Thursday morning. Yeah. Friday night. Oh, yeah. Sunday afternoon. If I'm the only one that comes and sees you in the hospital, small group leaders, if I'm the only one, you guys got a problem. But if you're in a small group and you don't get a visit, there is an issue. But if you're not in a small group and you don't get a visit, I don't know what to tell you. I'm sorry. I'm going to do the best I can to be there, but I'm only one. You need a small group. You need a group of people that's journeying through life with you. That, you know, that when you're sick, they'll bring you some food. That when you're struggling, they'll pray for you. That knows what's going on and that can be there and walk with you through those hard times. You need those people in your life. So you need a small group. The second thing you're going to have to do, you're going to have to ask and expect God to help. Because the Lord helps me, I will not be dismayed. Therefore, I am set my face like flint to do his will, and I know that I will triumph. Do you expect God to do something? See, I think a lot of us don't expect much from God. I really believe that. I think you're here this morning, so I'm going to go on the assumption that you believe in God. I'm just going to take that assumption. You're here this morning, I'm going to assume you believe in God. But do you expect God to do something? Do you expect God to bless your life? Now, I'm not going to say you're not going to have any pain, because life is not fair. You're going to have pain sooner or later. But I want to challenge you this morning. We're going to get ready for this 40 days. Will you start praying now about being a part? You want to be different? Do you like where you're at right now? Can something change? Can something be better in your life? Do you want something different? Are you sitting there this morning going, you know, it could be better. Yeah, it could be different. I'm going to give you a chance to make that happen. But it won't happen overnight, and it won't happen with good intentions, and it won't happen because you want it to. You got to make a choice. You got to resolve, and you got to make a resolution. And so I challenge you this morning. Will you be resolved to be a part of what God wants to do in your life? God wants to bless you. God wants to prosper you. Don't be squeezed into what others think you should be. Don't put the pain off and think, well, I'll worry about that later. Don't live in fear. Live by faith. Don't let your values be determined by anybody but God. Let's pray. Lord, I just thank you for your words and your truths. Lord, and I pray for all of us that are here this morning. Lord, you want to do good for every life that is sitting here. You want to bless and touch hearts. There's not a person in this place that you do not love, that you do not want to put your arms around, that you don't want to lift up and carry. Lord, I ask you to speak to their hearts and reassure them. If there's battles in their lives, show them a glimpse of your grace and your mercy. Give them